Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The CourtCast. I'm your host, Chris Harris. I'm a certified personal trainer and Pilates instructor, and I've been working with clients for almost 18 years to help them get stronger, move better, and recover from injury. In this week's episode, we're going to delve into the significance of joint stability. We're going to explore common diagnoses related to joint instability, discuss the causes of joint instability, and provide effective ways to improve joint stability with a focus on Pilates exercises. Joint stability plays a vital role in maintaining optimal physical function and preventing injuries. The ability of our joints to maintain stability is crucial for everyday activities, sports performance, and overall well-being. Some general information about the potential health impact of joint instability includes prevalence. Joint instability can affect people of all ages and genders. It's more commonly observed in certain joints like the shoulder, knee, ankle, and wrist. However, the prevalence rates can vary depending on the specific joint and population studied. Pain and disability. Joint instability can cause chronic pain and disability. According to a study published in the Journal of Orthopedic and Sports Physical Therapy, individuals with shoulder instability reported significantly higher levels of pain, functional limitations, and reduced quality of life compared to those without instability. Injury risk. Joint instability increases the risk of injuries. For example, individuals with knee instability may have a higher likelihood of suffering from knee ligament tears, such as the anterior cruciate ligament ACL injuries. A study published in the American Journal of Sports Medicine found that young athletes with knee instability had a greater risk of ACL injuries compared to those without the instability. Activity limitations. Joint instability can limit an individual's ability to participate in physical activities, which can impact their overall fitness level, cardiovascular health, and muscular strength. According to a study published in the Journal of Science and Medicine in Sport, found that individuals with ankle instability had reduced balance and functional performance, which affected their ability to engage in sports and other physical activities. Psychological impact. Chronic joint instability can also have psychological consequences. It may lead to increased stress, anxiety, and depression, as individuals may experience frustration, limitations in daily activities, and concerns about future joint health. It's important to note that the impact of joint instability on a person's health can vary, depending on the severity, frequency, and specific joint involved. Additionally, individual factors such as age, overall health, and lifestyle choices can also influence the health outcomes. If you're experiencing joint instability or have concerns about its impact on your health, it's advisable to consult with a healthcare professional who can provide a comprehensive evaluation and offer appropriate management strategies tailored to your specific needs. Joints are the connections between bones that allow movement. They're comprised of various structures, including ligaments, tendons, muscles, and cartilage, which work together to provide stability and support. Joint stability refers to that ability of these structures to maintain proper alignment and control during movement. Joint instability can lead to a range of diagnoses, including ligament sprains. Ligaments are tough bands of tissue that connect bones and provide stability to the joints. When ligaments are stretched or torn, it results in sprains, which can lead to joint instability. Subluxations and dislocations. Joint subluxations occur when the joint partially loses alignment, while dislocations involve a complete loss of joint alignment. These conditions can cause joint instability and may require medical intervention. Chronic instability. Repetitive injuries or laxity in the joint structures can lead to chronic instability. This condition often affects athletes and individuals involved in high-impact activities. Several factors contribute to joint instability, including trauma. Direct impact, sudden movements, or falls can damage ligaments and other joint structures, leading to instability. Muscular imbalances, weakness, or imbalance in the muscles surrounding a joint can disrupt its stability. This can be caused by inadequate strength training, poor posture, or muscle imbalances due to overuse or injury. Congenital factors. Some individuals may be born with joint laxity or hypermobility, making them more prone to joint instability. EDS is a congenital condition, meaning it's present from birth and is caused by genetic mutations. The genetic mutations affect the production or structure of collagen, which is a main protein in connective tissues. Collagen provides strength and support to various structures in the body, including joints, skin, blood vessels, and organs. In EDS, the defects in collagen can lead to problems with the structure and function of these connective tissues. There are several types of EDS, each caused by different genetic mutations. The most common types include classical EDS. This type is caused by a mutation in the COL5A1 and COL5A2 genes, which are responsible for producing type 5 collagen, or type V. Type V collagen is found in many tissues, including the skin, tendons, and blood vessels. It primarily affects the skin and joints. Symptoms typically at first appear from birth to childhood up to age 11 and may include skin hyperextensibility, fragile skin, delayed wound healing, muscle problems, and joint hypermobility. It can develop at any age, and symptoms can include chronic pain, fatigue and sleep problems, digestive problems, vertigo, feet abnormalities, acnosinosis. Hypermobile type EDS is the most common type of EDS, which accounts for almost 90% of all cases. It can develop at any age, and symptoms may include chronic pain, fatigue and sleep problems, digestive problems, vertigo, feet abnormalities such as low arches or flat feet, or acrocyanosis, which is a painless bluish discoloration of hands, fingers, feet, and toes. The last type is vascular EDS, which is the most severe and potentially life-threatening form. It's caused by mutations in different genes, such as a COL3A1, which produces type 3 collagen. And type 3 collagen is important for the strength and integrity of blood vessels. Its deficiency can lead to fragile and prone to rupture blood vessels. Symptoms are often apparent in infancy, though some may develop later in childhood and include translucent skin, easy bruising and bleeding, eye differences, large, deep-set, subtly protruding eyes that make it difficult to sleep, limb differences, gum sensitivity, and cognitive impairment. Other less common types of EDS include kyphoscoliotic EDS, arthrocalasia EDS, and dermatosparesis EDS, as well as others. Each type is associated with specific genetic mutations and have distinct clinical features. It's very important to note that EDS is a genetic disorder, which means that it can be inherited from one or both parents. However, in some cases, EDS can occur spontaneously without a family history of the condition. If someone has EDS, there is a chance that their children may inherit the condition. Genetic counseling and testing can be helpful for individuals with EDS who are planning to have children or want to understand their risk of passing on the condition. EDS stands for Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a group of genetic disorders that affect the connective tissues of the body. Connective tissues provide support and strength to various structures such as joints, skin, blood vessels, and organs. In EDS, there's a defect in the production of structure of collagen, which is a main protein in connective tissues. EDS can lead to joint hypermobility, joint instability, and chronic pain, and it can affect the skin, blood vessels, and other organs, as we've discussed. The severity of EDS symptoms can vary widely among individuals, ranging from mild joint hypermobility to severe joint dislocation and organ complications. Pilates is a form of exercise that focuses on strengthening the core muscles, improving flexibility, and enhancing body awareness. It can be beneficial for individuals with EDS in several ways. Number one is core strengthening. Pilates exercises target the deep muscles of the abdomen, back, and pelvis, which helps stabilize the spine and joints. Strengthening these core muscles can provide better support to the joints and improve their stability. Number two is joint stability. Pilates exercises emphasize proper alignment and control of movements, which can help improve joint stability. By strengthening the muscles around the joints, Pilates can reduce the risk of joint dislocations and subluxations. Number three is body awareness. EDS can affect proprioception, which is the body's sense of position and movement. Pilates exercises focus on body awareness, helping individuals with EDS improve their ability to sense and control their movements. Number four is flexibility and range of motion. While individuals with EDS may already have increased joint flexibility, Pilates exercises can help improve overall flexibility, balance muscle strength, and enhance joint range of motion. This can be beneficial for maintaining joint health and preventing injuries. And number five is pain management. Pilates exercises can help alleviate chronic pain associated with EDS by promoting better posture, reducing muscle imbalances, and enhancing overall body alignment. It's important for individuals with EDS to consult with a healthcare professional, such as a physical therapist or Pilates instructor, who has experience working with EDS patients. They can provide personal guidance and modifications to ensure safe and effective participation in Pilates exercises. When considering starting an exercise program, especially for individuals with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, it's crucial to consult with your healthcare provider. EDS is a connective tissue disorder that affects the strength and flexibility of the body's tissues. Therefore, it's important to have professional guidance to ensure that the exercise program is safe and suitable for your specific condition. Consulting with a healthcare provider, such as a physical therapist or physician, is really essential for several reasons. Number one is understanding the individual's needs. Each person with EDS has a unique set of symptoms and limitations. A healthcare provider can assess the specific condition, take into account any comorbidities, and provide personalized recommendations based on abilities and goals. Safety considerations. EDS can increase the risk of joint instability, subluxations, and injuries. A healthcare provider can help identify potential risks and provide guidance on exercises that are safe and appropriate for the condition. They can also provide modifications or alternatives to exercises that may be too strenuous or risky. Collaboration with other specialists. EDS often requires a multidisciplinary approach to management. Your healthcare provider can collaborate with other specialists, such as physical therapists, occupational therapists, or exercise physiologists who have experience working with EDS patients. This collaborative approach ensures that all aspects of the condition are taken into account when designing an exercise program. Monitoring progress and adjusting the program. Regular communication with healthcare providers allows for ongoing monitoring of progress and any changes in condition, and they can help to adjust the exercise program as needed to ensure that it remains safe and effective. When it comes to finding professionals who are best suited to work with EDS patients, it's important to seek out those with experience and knowledge in managing the condition. Physical therapists or exercise physiologists who specialize in working with individuals with EDS or other connective tissue disorders are particularly valuable. They can provide exercise programs specifically tailored to your needs and can guide you in building strength, improving joint stability, and maintaining any associated pain and managing that pain and limitation. Additionally, it may be beneficial to work with a healthcare provider who understands the unique challenges and complexities of EDS, such as a rheumatologist or geneticist. These specialists can provide a comprehensive approach to managing your condition and coordinate care with other healthcare professionals. Consulting your healthcare provider is crucial before starting an exercise program, especially if you have EDS. It's invaluable for them to provide personalized guidance to ensure safety and to collaborate with other specialists monitoring progress so that you are exercising safely and effectively. Improving joint stability is really important for preventing injuries and enhancing overall physical performance. Some effective ways to achieve this are strength training. Engaging in regular strength training exercises that target the muscles surrounding the joints can improve stability. Focus on exercises that promote balanced muscle development and enhance joint support. Proprioceptive training. Proprioception refers to the body's ability to sense its position in space. Proprioceptive training exercises such as balance and stability drills can improve joint stability by enhancing neuromuscular control. And Pilates. Joseph Pilates' principle of stability is a fundamental concept in Pilates that focuses on developing a strong and stable core. It involves engaging the deep abdominal muscles, the pelvic floor muscles, and the muscles around the spine to create a solid foundation for movement. And this principle is important because it provides a stable base for which the body can efficiently and safely perform exercises. The principle of stability in Pilates is closely related to the concept of core strength. The core muscles, including the deep abdominal muscles, play a crucial role in maintaining proper alignment, stability, and control of the spine and pelvis. By strengthening these muscles and developing stability, individuals can improve their posture, balance, and overall body control. When applying the principle of stability to exercises, it means focusing on engaging the core muscles throughout the entire movement. This engagement helps to stabilize the spine and pelvis, preventing excessive movement or compensation from other muscles. It allows for more efficient and controlled movement patterns. In Pilates, Exercises typically start with establishing stability in the core before progressing to more complex movements. This ensures that the body is properly aligned and supported before adding additional challenges. By prioritizing stability, individuals can reduce the risk of injury, improve body awareness, and enhance their overall performance in Pilates exercises. To apply the principle of stability, individuals should focus on mindful engagement, being aware of the core muscles and consciously activating them during exercises. Deep breathing, coordinating breath with movement to support stability and enhance body awareness. Proper alignment, maintaining a neutral spine and pelvis alignment to optimize stability and prevent strain on other parts of the body. Controlled movements, performing exercises with precision and control, avoiding excessive or uncontrolled movements. And gradual progression, starting with foundational exercises and gradually increasing the difficulty and complexity of movements will ensure a solid base of stability. By incorporating the principles of stability into Pilates exercises, individuals can reap the benefits of improved core strength, stability, posture, and overall body control. It's important to learn and practice the proper technique under the guidance of a qualified Pilates instructor to ensure safety and effectiveness. Pilates is a highly effective form of exercise that emphasizes core strength, flexibility, and body awareness, and it can significantly improve joint stability by targeting those deep stabilizing muscles and promoting balanced muscle development. Some Pilates exercises that you can try to improve joint stability include single leg circles. Lying on your back with one leg extended and the other leg lifted towards the ceiling, you want to circle the lifted leg in a controlled manner, focusing on engaging the core and maintaining stability in the supporting hip. Performing 6 to 8 circles in each direction and then switching legs. Another one is a shoulder bridge. Lie on your back with your knees bent and your feet hip-width distance apart. Lift your hips off the mat while maintaining a neutral spine and engaging the glutes and core. Lower your hips back down with control, performing 10 to 12 repetitions. The plank. Starting in a push-up position with hands directly under the shoulders and toes tucked under, you want to engage your core, glutes, and leg muscles to maintain a straight line from head to heels. Hold the position for 30 to 60 seconds, gradually increasing the duration as you progress. Maintaining joint stability is crucial, as we've talked about throughout this episode, for optimal physical function and injury prevention. Having joint instability can lead to various diagnoses, but with the right approach, stability can be improved. Incorporating exercises like Pilates into your fitness routine can greatly enhance joint stability by strengthening those supporting muscles and improving body awareness. And by prioritizing joint stability, we can lead healthier, more active lives. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of the CoreCast. We'll be taking some time off to work on season 3 with some great guests and other wonderful surprises, so don't miss it. Make sure to follow the CoreCast on all major podcast platforms. And visit our website, www.core-fit.com, and again, that's core with a K, for great information and resources about Pilates, fitness, health and wellness, and more. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at core_fitness_AZ. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please consider supporting our work by donating using the link provided at the bottom of the description. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.